Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God.
When we come into union with Christ, what happens to Christ is credited to have happened to us. Just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also were raised into a newness of life. So he says, now we should walk in the newness of life.
I will no longer die to what he died to. Because he died, I'm no longer in my sins. Because he died, I can never be sick. Because he died, I can never be poor. Because he died, I can never be under a curse. Because he died, I can never be a prey to the fowler. My soul has escaped through his blood.
Step into the world of infinite possibilities as you listen to Pastor David Ibichukwu today.
You are good. Lift your hands and say, Father, you are good. Declare it again, say, you are good. Your love is perfect. Your mercies endure forever. We praise your holy name. We bless your holy name today. Yes, we worship you, King of Glory. Thank you. From you, all your family in heaven and earth are named. All your family. Lord, we thank you that we are named by you. It is your name that is upon us. It is your name that is the mark on our forehead. And we stand in the boldness and the assurance of your everlasting love for us. Thank you. We love the way you father us. We love the way you love us. No one else can do it as you do. And today our hearts are open to receive instructions in righteousness and from your word. We receive light. We receive understanding. Lord, we are established by that which you speak to our hearts today. And we are transformed and metamorphosed from the inside to the outside. And Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we excel in all things. And we prosper in all things. By the wisdom that you impart to us through your word today. Thank you, Father. We give you praise and we give you all the glory. In Jesus' precious and mighty name we have prayed. Let the church shout your loudest amen. Give the Lord a very, very big clap of freedom praise. Come on, bless the Lord. 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 Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Welcome everyone by your side today to church. Make sure that you get to know their names. Nobody sitting to your left or to your right should be a stranger. Get to know their names and let them get to know your name. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And to all our married men and fathers in the house, we say, Happy Father's Day. And to all the men that will soon be fathers, soon be married, Happy Father's Day. Please, can we stand up on our feet? And if you can locate a father, I'm seeing so many of them sitting in front there. Everywhere you can, and you can locate a father or a potential father. Greet them well and tell them Happy Father's Day. Happy, happy. If you're a wife, find your husband. If you're a son or a daughter, find your father. Greet them well. Tell them Happy Father's Day. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. All of you that are grateful to God for the gift of fatherhood, give God a mighty praise. Praise the Lord. Have your seat in God's presence. All right. Psalm 127. We're going to read from verse 1 to 5. Psalm 127. We are going to read from verse 1 to 5. Oh, that neighbor, as we read, one to go. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. Verse 2, It is in vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows. For so he gives his beloved sleep. I want you to turn to that person by your side. I'm also going to be speaking to fathers. That house there first means a family. Somebody say a family. And fathers, I'm going to tell us a few things that fathers represent. The first is that the father is a source. A father is a source. And how we have, you know, through the HEOS conference, we've been talking about the spiritual family. Even in the second service, we are talking about the spiritual family. As we see Pastor David today in Lamb as a spiritual father in this church. That's exactly how we must see our fathers. And for men, that's what you must see yourself as and become in your family. Your natural family. You are the source. That word source there means originator. Originator. The beginner. The beginner. The starter. So every family, ideally as God has ordained it, starts with who? A father. Somebody say a father. And he's a father that builds. Somebody say build. So you've got to pay attention. But here in verse 1, it said, unless the Lord builds, that means they labor in vain who build. That means while men are building, God wants to also build with them and want them to build with him. There is a way God builds. And when you start building with God and build the way he builds, your house will stand as his house stands. Jesus said, I will build my church. That is his own family. I will build my church and the gates of hell will not what? Prevail. Today I pray that the light you're receiving will cause our fathers to build families that the gates of hell will not prevail against. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. He says, so those who build without God and those who build rejecting the wisdom of God on how to build. Those who build rejecting light, the knowledge of God on how to build, they build in vain. That means at the end of the day, all their efforts will be futile. May your labor to build your family never be in vain. You will be satisfied with the fruit and the harvest of your labors in your families in the name of Jesus Christ. Let me hear you shout your loudest amen. And you see, the second thing you have to know about a father is that a father is a sustenance. What he sources, he what? He sustains. What he sources, he sustains. What he sources, he sustains. And that word sustenance means he maintains and keeps. He maintains. And one of the major ways a father sustains his family is by protecting. Whatever God builds, he guards. What a father builds, he must guard. So the second thing after building, you hear, unless the Lord watch over. To sustain means to uphold, to maintain, and to keep in existence. to uphold, to maintain, and to keep what? In existence. To keep in existence. So one thing is that God takes the responsibility to sustain, to guard whatever he builds. Verse 2 of Psalm 127. It is in vain for men to rise up and to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows. That's another thing you see. The Father is a provider. That's another way he sustains. One way he sustains is to protect. The second way he sustains is to provide. The Father is a provider. He is the provider. What does it mean to provide? It means to make necessities available. To make necessities available. He provides for the needs. He makes provision for necessities. He feeds his family. The Father is a provider. It is in vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrow, for so the Lord gives his beloved sleep. So all fathers, let me say this to us. I want you to hear me. Sit at the feet of Jesus and say, Father. And all of you here who are about getting married, and those of you who will be married, I believe that everybody here, by the grace of God, in less than 10 years should be married. May you say a big amen. May the Lord bless you with the children of your youth. Not children of old age. Are you hearing me? Yes. So I want you to listen carefully. Take this wisdom. He said, take my yoke and learn of me. Take my yoke. I'm going to give you instructions. I will teach you responsibility. I will discipline you. I will counsel you. I will guide you. I will show you the way. Take my yoke. Learn of me. He said, for my yoke is easy. My burden is light. When you learn how God builds, and you build how God builds, you begin to enjoy lasting fruits. You will, in your lifetime, begin to enjoy the harvest of your labors in raising a home. When you watch over your family the way God watches over the house, and you do it in partnership with the Holy Spirit, being led of the Holy Spirit, you will watch and see the preservation of your family. Those who don't do it in vain. There are people who in their foolishness allow pride to consume their hearts, and they assume that they know more than God. So they choose their own way of raising children. They choose their own way of marrying their wives. They choose their own way of raising their families. At the end of the day, the back of a fool is meant for many strokes. At the end of the day, in their lifetime, they have tears and tears. So there is a way God builds, and there is a way God guards. Then there is a way God provides. That we as fathers are supposed to provide doesn't mean we should sacrifice very important things in the family and think that all we need to do is to bring money into the house. So you're seeing men who in their lifetime are the very manifestation of the scriptures. In vain, they rise up early. They sit up late. They don't have time for their spouses. They don't have time for their children. They don't have time for the family. There is nothing like family vision. Their own is to go out, make money, drop it in the house and let the woman take care of the house. And when an Adam is always in the farmland, tilling the ground and dressing it, and leaving a woman alone, women will have conversation with the serpent. Yeah, it's true. It's not. I'm not gender biased. I hope you know. There is a reason. By the time I tell you what a father represents, you understand. Eker or reke. It is not gender. It's when you want to be westernized that you have a problem. When you're Christianized, you won't have a problem. Follow God, though. Follow God's word, not men's way. Men's way. They start having conversations with this. And if you're not careful, such men, because they no longer take leadership and take responsibility to give direction and how and where their family, they just leave it. Everything in the hands of the woman. Everything in the hands of the woman. By the time they come, the instructions God gave them, the instruction God gave them concerning their family, some don't even know. They have not even received. Not to talk of non-communicating it. God didn't talk to Eve when he said, do not eat. He didn't talk to Eve. Who he talked to was Adam. At the end of the day, when you don't lead your wives, and your wives end up leading you in family matters, while you're just dropping money, you understand that God didn't plan that a woman should lead a home. I pray you understand. May God grant you understanding. So as much as God wants the man to be the provider, to be the breadwinner, to go out there and till his land, he has a way. It is not God's plan that your work should sabotage your responsibilities in your families. What did I say? One more time. So watch that scripture, because this is exactly, there is something God is saying to us. There is something God is saying to us. Look at verse 3. Verse 3. So, you begin to see what makes you now a father. And this is what I charge everybody who is married. You are going to have children as many as you have desired. Let me hear you shout your loudest amen. Don't let any devil lie to you. Let me release that word over your life and your family. You are going to have children as many as you desire. Amen. Don't let any verdict of any medical verdict, whatever it is, lie to you. And hear me. Hear me. I am your pastor and I'm talking to you. You're here and you're married. And you notice that we both, you and your wife, una no get power to stand in faith. You know, there are a lot of times that believers say they are standing in faith, but the truth is they are not. I've been there. That even me, when it comes to certain things, I just focus on something else. And it was when I was raised, and after I've been raised for years, that my language changed. As a child, a nepious, immature Christian, you're always believing for something. And that doesn't mean you're believing. It's just a Christian language. I'm believing God for. I'm believing God for. And yet, there is no deliberate faith investment. There is no force of faith being exercised. Not one. And if you know you're in that kind of place and you're not firing on all faith cylinders, please go and adopt whatever you can. Now prayerfully with your wife, come together and both of you come to an agreement and find the best way to have children in your home. Your children must not come from you directly. Are you hearing me? Whatever you do, raise a family. Whatever you do, raise a family. Whatever you do. There are some of you that we are now begging. I called one of my sons. I said, please, I'm asking you in the name of the Lord. Whatever it is, take your wife for family planning. I said, you are so blessed. Your wife is so blessed. Okwamaka tomorrow. Okwamaka tomorrow. I don't know why God is taking me through this. You've had enough. Amen. Amen. So, whatever divide, make sure you have children. Somebody say children. Come on, say children. There are people who are adopted children that ended up treating their parents better than their biological children. And you know, there are what we call substitute fathers. There are about 10 kinds of fathers, 10 types of fathers. The first and who takes the prominent place is our Heavenly Father. Our Heavenly Father. That's the first. Then you have biological father. Number one. Two. Then the third type of father is substitute father. Everybody say substitute father. Now these are people that come into people's lives, children that they didn't give birth to biologically. So you have things like foster fathers. You have things like stepfathers. Somebody comes in, marries a woman that already has children, and steps in as a father and adopts those children as his. Those are stepfathers. And these are real fathers. Real fathers. Real fathers. Then you have people that play those fatherly roles, like relatives, siblings. There are people in their family, they have elderly father, elderly brothers, that they lost their parents when they were very young, and those brothers became a father over them. Then you have family friends sometimes that come in and take, and those are foster fathers. And I have seen it many, many, many times. Many men say that even the one they adopted, adopted father, foster fathers, stepfathers, saying those children are the ones who now love them and take care of them and treat them like fathers more than their biological children. I'm sorry. So don't let anybody. But the only thing is, you do whatever you've got to do to have children prayerfully and in faith. So when I'm ministering healing to people, one of the things the Lord taught me is to assess where their faith is and work with them at the level of their faith. And there are people that before I look at them, you could see faith in them. I don't even pray. When I see those people, I don't pray. I just say, you're healed. Go. I just give an instruction and they are healing. You know their faith is already stirred. You could see faith in their eyes. When you do that, you don't start praying. You just give a word, they take it. One word and that's all. They take it. Then there are people that you see and you find out that their faith is in the place. The Lord gives me that discernment. I just know that they've said in their hearts, if pastor will pray for me, I'll be healed. So them, I don't give a word. I pray for them. And then I lay hands on them if the Lord leads me to lay hands, or I stretch my hands, and then they get healed. Then there are some that you see and you know that even when I pray for them, they just believe that when I pray for them, it will work with the drugs they are taking. Yes, and it's where their faith is. So what I do is I pray for them and then I encourage them by the word of the Lord to go to hospital to take their drugs. Then I give them scriptures that they will be standing on while they are taking those drugs. Because the drugs may treat the symptoms, but it's God that heals. So they still need to stand on faith. And drugs can have adverse effects, side effects. So when they stand on faith, what did the Bible say in Exodus chapter 23? It said, I will bless your food and your what? So that drug becomes blessed. It won't have any side effect. God uses it to perfect his healing. So it's always, you check, be sober to know the measure of faith given to everybody. You have to know and examine and discern. So if you're not in that place where you believe you have your children, go and adopt. If you have fertility issues and you've been believing for an anointing, and it's not happening, find out that medical solutions. Find it. Whatever it is, but do it prayerfully and through the what? The help of the Holy Spirit. In the partnership with the Holy Spirit, make sure you have a witness and a peace in your heart. Why? Let me tell you the secret. Because children that will bless you tomorrow are a gift from God. Don't ever use any carnal way to have children. Whatever means, make sure it is deep in prayers, standing on the word of God, trusting the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Is somebody hearing what I'm saying? But what I'm instructing every family is to make sure you have children in your house. Have children. Verse 3. Hold that neighbor by your side. And read to that neighbor. One to go. Shout it louder. Behold, children are heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the I raise my hands in the presence of the Lord and declare the cry, the laughter, and the playing of children in every home. In the name of Jesus Christ. As I prayed, there was someone here that stood for his sister. You are shouting amen for your sister. Oh, the Lord told me you're a lady, not a man. The Lord said I should tell you to go and call your sister, that in the next 3 months she will return with a testimony. I'm not talking to everybody. When I said there is someone here, the person knows herself. I thought it was his. I said his, but the Lord told me he's a lady. I'm not talking to, but whoever it is that is hanging on this same testimony, it shall also be a portion. In the name of Jesus. Verse 4. Now see what happens when you build the way God designs for us to build. He said, like arrows in the hand of a warrior. That shows you who a father and what a father represents. A father is a warrior. Please, let me tell you, all of you here, a father is not a friend of the children. That's what Westerners taught you. A father is not his children's friends. He's his children's trainer. You don't train your friends. Let me say that again. A father is not the children's friend. He's a children's trainer. Now, you do it lovingly. You do it teaching. But as you're teaching, there is a time for everything. There is time to teach and there is time to command. And when you raise them well, instruct them well, when it ought to be, you won't have to fight when they are grown. When you study 1 Timothy, as Apostle Paul was talking about who a bishop ought to be, he said he's one who rules over his house well. who rules. A father is a ruler. A ruler, exactly. That's what I said. Commander in chief. A ruler that sets order. That puts out this is what ought to be and this is what ought not to be. The only thing is you rule as God rules. Not by compulsion. Not forcefully. Not by oppression. Not by subjugation. You rule with righteousness, justice. You rule modeling what Jesus began to what? Do. So when you want to teach your children something, you make yourself be doing it. Both when they see you and when they are not seeing you. And then you start teaching what you do. What Jesus began to do and to teach. You model righteousness. You model justice. You model honor. You model strength. You model vulnerability. You model humility. Brokenness, you model it. Learn how to tell your children, oh, daddy was wrong here. I did this. I was not supposed to do it. Maybe you there in a car. All of you are driving. And I don't know why the male ego likes to show up on the road, eh, Lord. May the Lord grant you understanding. Who understands what I'm saying? And then suddenly, somebody wants to test the limit of the patience of Christ in you. And then you, with your children there, you shout out, you animal! Driving like a madman! Looking for who will kill you today. If they sent you or remoted you from your village, tell them you didn't see me. Useless man. And suddenly, you see Junior by the side, watching you. Junior will soon call you animal. Especially when they are toddlers, right? Eh? And then you have to now correct Junior. No, daddy is not an animal. But daddy, you called another man an animal. What do you do as a father? Show them humility at that moment. Show them that it's okay to have faults. Every man has faults. But it's also okay to what? Be humble to accept that you did wrong. Take responsibility. Be humble. Say, I am sorry. Learn to tell your children you're sorry. Give God praise. When you're wrong, show them. Show them. Show them. But you are a warrior. In that home, you must have a warrior spirit. You must have a warrior spirit. So write this down. A father is also a protector. He's a warrior. The enemy wants to just come into your house. Anyhow. A young man came to me and said, Pastor, this happened and I had police case. Before I knew it, a few days after that, another one happened someday. I had another. I'm just going to police station now. Pastor, this other one happened. And I laughed. I said, yes, I understand. He said, Pastor, I said, he don't know the devil. The only thing the devil is permitted is called a day. An evil day. But if the devil comes on an evil day and notices that you're a meat for eating. One thing about demons is that they are very territorial. And they don't like to let go. They are very stubborn. If they touch demon, they touch the person. And they say, hey, I have headache. I have some headache. I just need paracetamol. I just want to rest. I think it's just symptoms from tiredness. He will go and call a vugu vugu. He says paracetamol. Says see meat. Always looking for who to devour. Always. And when he finds one, the Bible says, don't give the enemy a room space, a foot space, especially a foot space. So when he comes and he notices the person is not reacting. He's not standing up. He's not using his armor. No authority. He's come back. He'll come back. That's how it happens. So there are people that one evil day turned into evil years.
So I told him, I said, sit down there and be looking for pastor now. What are you coming here? Are you not a Christian? Don't you have the name of Jesus? By the blood of the Lamb, you overcame them. The blood, was it only for your pastor? Was it not also for you? Don't you have a word of testimony? Don't you have a word of prophecy? Don't you have a shield of faith? Don't you have a sword of the Spirit? Sit down there now. When he's through with you, we only come when he has finished you. He said, you know what to do. If the enemy tries to enter your house, don't play. Let him know that this is not his playground. Every father, say, I'm a warrior. This is not your playground. Not my wife, not my children, not my household, not anything that belongs to me. The destiny of my children are secure. Like Jesus Christ, my Lord, I will give account. None that you have given me did I lose. I didn't lose any that you gave me. I stood on my watch. I did my work. Somebody say, I hear. Like arrow in the hands of a warrior. An arrow is a weapon. So you train your children to become weapons. Weapons of change. Weapons of excellence. Weapons of love. Weapons of righteousness. And then, in the hand of a warrior, when you are shooting an arrow, you have a target. It's the father's responsibility to stay in the presence of the Lord until the Lord shows you the destiny of your children. He may not spell it out that your child will be a lawyer, that your child will be a pastor, that your child will be, but you will know them in the spirit, in their destinies. You will know them by prophetic. You will, there are scriptures that the Lord will awaken in your spirit. You know which child represents, that scripture represents. And you'll be able to release them straight right there into their target destiny. Destinies are aborted when fathers are missing in their place. Now, many of us had to grope around, grope through the dark, grope. And God now somehow had mercy and gave us substitute fathers. Some of us, it was not spiritual father that God used, because a lot of natural fathers were missing. All this nonsense of going to somebody to prophesy, going to find where what my future holds, where is it coming from? Fathers who were not prophetic. Nobody told them from home. Nobody prophesied over them from home. So they are moving around. Once they hear anybody that calls number, what am I supposed to do? So you have grown men and grown women, directionless, looking for who am I, having and suffering from identity crisis, because they have fathers that are missing. You will not be missing. I say you will not be missing. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior, so are the children of ones. Your children will be in your youth. Verse 5, stand on your feet. Now, this is a word for those of us who want only 2 children, 3 children. The Lord bless you. After your 2 and 3 biological children, adopt other children. Whether they are adopted and answering your name, or you're fostering them and they are not answering your name, have at different levels and stages of your life people that will call you father. I used to remember Afamefuna. Things fall apart. Is it Ikemefula? Yes, Ikemefula. Things fall apart. Thank you. And they were telling Okonkwo, don't participate. Don't put your hand. He said, the young boy calls you what? I always have people in your life that call you father. In your career, have young men, not just mentorship, the Lord will lead you, that you're going to raise, that call you what? Father. Be surrounded with children. Kai. When you're too young, you won't understand. But as you age, you understand me. Don't live life for yourself and selfish, don't. There are two things I teach men. I say, when you master these two things, then you will find purpose for making money. All your labor on earth will have meaning. You won't in old age have the groaning of the foolish. You won't know the frustration of the stupid. I say the first thing is raise a family and raise children. Treat your wives well. If God has given you a good wife, there are very bad wives, so. And there is nothing. You know, we said it in the second service. There are situations where even the Lord will tell your pastor to tell you that woman has to pack. Yes. And there are very bad husbands that the woman must pack from his house first. There are. But when the Lord has given you a good wife, treat them well. Treat them well, oh. Treat your wives well. You will understand later. After all said and done, it's two of you in the house. Don't let your wife become a stranger. Don't have a kind of wife that is just holding on. Let the last born just graduate. I pray God grants you understanding. If you finish wasting and your time and your heart and your love and attention and your finances outside, when the time comes, treat your wives well. Be present for your children. Stay there. Your family earthly is your earthly reward for all your labors. If you don't raise a family, all you've worked for is for nothing. That's your earthly reward. A man who sabotages his family is a foolish man. A man who wastes opportunities to raise his family, bind them together, raise them and nurture them, is foolish. He's committing suicide. There's a very prominent man in this nation. One of the richest men. Married different wives. Everybody is fighting. Even recently, some of his sons are granting different interviews on different podcasts, fighting each other, publicly disgracing their father. And a reporter went to do a report on this man's mansion. If you see his mansion, the mansion he built in the 80s. There, everywhere broken down. The reporter entered his speak. If you see how unkept, people began to curse. They curse. Some people say that's how the money and life of ritualists, men that make money from rituals, that's how they end. If you see, because people were cursing the man, cursing his memory, then cursing the children. Doesn't this man have children? This man has plenty of children. Some of the properties you are acquiring today, if you do not raise, I pray, I'm not talking to you, you know better. You lose your earthly reward. The Bible says, I will open to you windows, the windows of heaven, and pour you out a blessing you will have no room enough. Meaning, your lifetime will not. The blessing God placed on Abraham, Isaac showed up, the blessing showed up. Jacob showed up, the blessing showed up. Till today, all the children of Israel, of today, Jews, natural children, are still enjoying that blessing. Now, we who are his sons in faith by the Spirit are enjoying that blessing. The blessing of one man. He said, you won't have room enough. Room enough. God showed up for Isaac and said, because your father, Abraham, obeyed me. Raise your families. Stop moving around. That side chick does not love you. Is an agent of hell. The devil only comes to steal. Do you need again any description to tell you that is a demon? Do you need another description? He's killing everything. Rapun those things. Rapun. I'm kneeling down now. I'm kneeling down. And very soon, the sons I have, if you decide not to hear, I will show my rod of authority. Whatever is your strength will become your shame. Happen to those people. Haka, happen, haka. Some of you are piling curses for your children. Your parents did it and you're doing it again. You're doing it again. Your children now have to rise to fight demons because you lived carelessly. Rapunu those people haka. You know you're doing like this, you're doing like this. I will bless you. I just kneel down and ask the Lord, whatever has kept your hand like this should come down. Until your eyes cry and seek the Lord. If I'm your father, rapunu. Because since I have to fight for your children. If you don't love yourself, love your children. I hope you like my kind of pastoring. Now hear me. I've got to close. Because we have some money to make in the fourth service. I've got to close. We have some money to make. Listen very carefully. The second is your spiritual family. You see your natural family, your spiritual family. The natural family is your earthly reward. Your spiritual family is your eternal. Don't joke with those two things. As a man, that's who you are. Don't joke with those things. God's mission on earth. When you're through and you're done, you're going to face one that will reward you according to your works on earth. And when you stand before him, it is his mission that you fulfilled that will determine your reward. Don't joke with your ministry. Don't joke with God's work. Don't. Those are the purpose why you make money. Every other money you have, how many cars, how many can you ride? How many rooms, how many can you stay in? I have 7 rooms in my house. 2 sitting rooms. Many times I don't even go into the sitting rooms, some other sitting rooms for 3 months. Sometimes I have only access to 2 rooms in my house, my wife and mine. Only in my house. Sometimes I now walk into the guest room. Maybe I'm inspecting somebody and I just want to make sure, just if my wife will always make sure. So if maybe I just want to walk in. Once in a while I do. How many can you, all the lands you have, how many are you carrying? You see, what you think is value is not yet value. You have to ask yourself, why must I prosper? Now hold that, neighbor. Please make sure you're standing on your feet now. Read that scripture to that neighbor, verse 5, and read it out loud. One to go. One more time. Happy is the man who has his full of them. They shall not be ashamed.
Every man here, raise your hand.
Happy means blessed is the man. I call you blessed today. In your lifetime, not after you are full of life and you are gone. No, in your lifetime, you shall be satisfied with the joy and the blessings of your family. Your wife shall be, oh, in your innermost chamber, a fruitful vine. Your children surrounding your table like olives in the name of Jesus. Your quiver shall be full of warrior arrow children in the name of Jesus. You shall not be ashamed. I say you shall not be ashamed. I say you shall not be ashamed.
I've heard it say, men end up being lonely. People don't love men. That's a lie. You are a blessed man. Your wives shall love you. They shall speak of you at the gate. Your children shall uphold and love you. They shall honor you. In the name of Jesus, you will reap the good fruit of your good labors. In the name of Jesus, my Lord, comfort your heart. My Lord, strengthen you. My Lord, furnish you with all grace. You will not give up. You will not give up. You shall stand as a warrior. That overcoming anointing is speaking over your life. Every mountain, every giant standing against you, against your family, against the destiny of your children, shall bow before you. Everywhere there is a gathering against you, they shall scatter for your sake. In the name of Jesus, hear me. You will not repeat the history of the failures of the fathers behind you. You will not become the failures of the past, of the fathers in the past. In the name of Jesus, their struggles will not be your struggles. Their struggles shall be your victories and your testimonies. Where your fathers fail, you shall arise and win. And every wisdom, every favor, every blessing, every finances and resource necessary for you to be a good father, a great father, a spiritual father with ease. For the Lord giveth his beloved rest, functioning from the level of rest. Now rest upon you in the name of Jesus Christ. And I pray for you, that which you build shall endure in righteousness in the name of Jesus Christ. The gates of hell shall not prevail against your homes. Thank you, men, for all the bullets you take. Thank you for standing so that others can stand. Thank you for not giving up. Thank you for all the sacrifices you make. Thank you for the battles you fight that no one knows. Thank you for the midnight tears. And sometimes the tears don't even come out physically. You're deep in thoughts. Deep in thoughts. But you've got to stand. Thank you for being the better person who forgives. Who stands for your family to stand. For all your labors. I bless you today as your spiritual father. May your honor be great. May your name be great. In the name, the Lord has a blessing for someone. From this day, some of you had to change your surname. Some of you sometimes don't know how to introduce yourself as if you're coming from somewhere, because those names close doors. But this day, the Lord said, I'm making you a great name. You will live leave an inheritance of a great name for your children and your children's children. Your names will open doors for your children and your children's children. Fathers, thank you. God bless you. Come on, let's celebrate our fathers. Let's celebrate our fathers.
Thank you so much for listening to this message by Pastor David Ifechukwu. Follow us on any of our social media platforms using the handle @MyLambWorld or contact us at 006-275-3311 to purchase and listen to more life-changing messages by Pastor David Ifechukwu.